Open up to the book of Jude. We've been talking about the millennium. We've learned that there's a rapture of the church. The dead in Christ are going to rise first out of their graves. They're going to get their glorified bodies. And just within a blink of an eye, right after that, we're going to get our glorified bodies and we're going to be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 15 makes mention of these things also, verse 51 on through 57. Just want to encourage you to study into the rapture, because that's the next biblical event that is going to take place at the church. Now, if we're born again, the only thing you have to be is in Christ. You have to be in Christ. He talks a lot in Ephesians about being in Christ. And then, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, he tells you what it is to be in Christ. He says, all things have become new. Oh, he said, old things are gone, all things have become new, and all things are of God. So you can just ask yourself, if all things, all everything in my life is of God, then we can know that we're born again. If everything in your life is not of God, then we need to recognize these facts. And we need to get things out of our life that are not of God, and get things into our life that are of God. Amen. It's that simple. If we want to be in Christ and we want to make the rapture, that's the requirement. Baptism of the Holy Spirit's not necessary to make it into the rapture. So people in other denominations that are living a holy life, and all things in their life are of God, they're not living in deliberate sin, they're going to make the rapture. Even if they're in a Catholic church or a Protestant church, doesn't matter what type of church they're in. If they're true believers behind closed doors, not just in front of other people, if they're true believers, they're going to make that rapture. And some people may try to come up against that, but Scripture makes it very clear that that's the only requirement, is to be in Him, in Christ. You see, not every believer has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not every believer has heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so very, very powerful and so very, very necessary that Jesus commanded, everyone say commanded. Amen. He commanded His disciples not to leave Jerusalem till they have been clothed with power from on high. Amen. That's where the power begins, is when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. When I used to witness to people, a lot of times I would think in my mind, I'd have the thought, they're not going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. I changed my way of thinking, and I started asking every single person that I witnessed to, just about every single time, if they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and almost every single time they do. Right in the middle, I had cars blowing past me on both sides at a stop-and-go light, and I had two women were standing right in the triangle with me, and I got them baptized in the Holy Spirit. They both prayed in tongues so fluently that I said, are you sure you've never prayed in tongues? But I didn't even touch them. They just started praying in tongues. Fluent prayer languages, each one different than the other. I said, you never heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit before? They said, no. I said, this is the first time. They said, yeah, this is the first time. It was absolutely amazing. Amen. This morning on the way to church, I witnessed to a woman. Since we're caught up in this exhortation, we're going to flow with it. A woman on the way to church, I'd say she's approximately 67 to 70 years old. Making a judgment based upon just the way she talked and how she looked and the age group that I'm classified with, the people I know in that age group. She's somewhere 65 to 67, maybe 70 years old, possibly. She looked to be doing pretty good. She's walking up. It looks like she was holding a tissue over her face and she had tears out of her eyes. I believe she had a problem with her eyes. And I didn't tell her I was a pastor. Typically, I say, hi, I'm Pastor Dan. I didn't say that this time. I said, hi, I'd like to invite you to church this morning. And I was on my bicycle because we only live a couple blocks away and had a guitar case in my hand and a backpack on my back. And she said, I don't need to go to church. I said, you don't. She said, I am the church and I'm serving the Lord. I'm serving the Lord. I'm serving the Lord. She kept saying this repetition. I'm not exaggerating. This is what she was saying. I'm serving the Lord. I go about everywhere I'm serving the Lord. She said, I do His will. She said, I do His will everywhere I go. I'm doing His will. I said, you're not doing His will. You're not going to church. I said, where do you go to church? She said, I haven't gone to church. I don't go to church. I don't need to go to church. I've been reborn, she says. I said, you've been reborn. That's good. I said, but you're disobedient to God because He commands in His word in Hebrews 10:25 not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. She said, no, no, no. She says, you don't know everything about God. You ask Him, I'm going to pray for you and He's going to tell you that you don't have to go to church. I said, no, His word already says His Word says, you see. People can conjure up all sorts of imaginations and believe that they're hearing from God, but God never contradicts His Word. If His Word says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, then we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, I sent out the text message today. Everybody got it. Did anybody not get the text message this morning about the church? You didn't get it? We're going to have to figure out why that is. Now, so that word church, euseen, is ecclesia in the Greek. And it means believers called out of their houses, assembled together in public. But not only that, there's about a paragraph of definitions, and every single one of them use the word assembled, assembly, united, out of their houses, in public, in unity. It used all those words over and over and over throughout these next couple paragraphs describing that one Greek word. You see? So there can be no contention about it. Jesus said, I will build my church. And it said that they have their own private meetings, it said in there. You see? True believers, we have our own private meetings that we have, and we have them a few times a week. That's what we're doing. We're having our own private meeting. The world is not welcome to come to our meeting unless they're ready to repent and give their heart to Jesus. You see? There's over and over in the church where they, 1 Corinthians 5, he said, expel the immoral brother from among you. He said, when you're assembled together in public in the presence of our Lord Jesus there, he said, turn such a person over to Satan so that their flesh may be destroyed and their soul may be saved on the day of the Lord Jesus. That means disclude them from all fellowship and prayer and tell them, look, you can't be part of this body, this group of believers, as long as you're going to continue living in sexual immorality. That's what he said to do. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So if anybody's in that kind of sin, we're not supposed to. In fact, he's in other places, it's not to associate with them in order that they may be ashamed, it says. You see? That's shunning. Now, a lot of churches don't do that today, but this is what the Bible says to do, and we have to stick to God's Word. Amen? So we have our own private meetings. We're out of our houses together in public, worshiping the Creator of the heavens and the earth, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is church. This is what we do. And there's a lot of people, and the Lord brings them right to me because He knows that I know what to tell them, that they are not part of the flock. They've gone astray. You see, when we're not assembled together with the flock of sheep, we've gone astray. Now, anybody who's watched some of the science or the nature shows knows that the way lionesses hunt, because the lions are typically not the one that hunts, the lionesses, they like to find one of the antelope and kind of force it away from the flock. That's what they like to do. They like to get it away from the flock. And, you know, when the wolves hunt, they like to find the sheep that it's away from the flock, because it's more difficult to devour their victim if they're assembled together with the flock, you see. And Peter, in 1 Peter 5:8, he said, be self-controlled and alert. That's like 10 cups of coffee, self-controlled. You got your dukes up, you're ready, you're watching for something to happen. You know? And he said to be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So when we're not assembled together with the church, we're like the sheep gone astray from the flock. We're backslidden at that point. That's why it's important to assemble together. A lot of people think because they feel okay that they're getting away with it. But we do not. None of this has anything to do with feelings at all. This has to do with actions and what we believe. Amen? If you are moved by what you feel, then before you were born again, you probably thought you were going to heaven. And a lot of times when believers get baptized in the Holy Spirit and they start praying in other tongues and believing for the salvation of other people, they start to feel like they're going to hell when they're not. You see, the feelings. Feelings can be very deceptive. But the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight in 2 Corinthians 5:7. We're not moved by what we feel. We're not moved by what we see. We're moved only by what we believe. And we believe that God's Word has a final say-so in our life. Amen? God's Word has a final say-so. I can tell you as a pastor that if I was moved by what I feel, I probably would get nothing accomplished to God, and I would get barely any prayers answered. But I get all my prayers answered because I just absolutely, relentlessly refuse to take no for an answer. You see, because the Bible says that all the promises of God in Him are yes. Everyone say yes. Yes. What about this passage? Yes. Is it a good thing? Is it something that Jesus died on the cross for? Is it healing? Is it emotional peace? Is it salvation? Is it the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Is it provision, any kind of provision at all? Anything you have the faith to believe in for? Then the answer is always yes, never no. Amen? In fact, I believe there's one translation that says that always yes and never no. Always yes and never no. Amen? That's 2 Corinthians 1:20. All the promises of God in Him are yes. And so through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. In other words, when you say amen, it brings God glory because it's a finished deal. It's done. Whatever you just asked for, you have it. He says in 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence we have in Him. Everyone say in Him. When you're born again, He says this is the confidence we have in Him. He said if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we believe that we have what we received of Him, it says. So, what's His will? Well, His will is in His Word. You know, it says in Ephesians 5:17, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Some people wander around questioning what God's going to do, wondering if God's going to do it. I just don't know if God will do this time. You know, kind of like the leper, he fell on his knees before Jesus. He came to Jesus and said, Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean. So, this particular leper believed that if Jesus could, he believed that Jesus had the power to heal him, but he didn't know if Jesus was willing to do it. You see, I just don't know, Jesus, if You're willing to heal me, but if You will, please do it. I mean, I want to have the healing. I know I've seen You heal. I know that You can heal people, but I just don't know if it's Your will. But let me tell you something. Healing is always the will of God. You see, because if it's something that Jesus died on the cross to redeem us from, then it's always the will of God for us to receive that thing. But sometimes it's a fight. You know what Israel was doing in the natural is what we are to be doing in the spiritual. I'm going to say that again. What Israel did in the natural, all the wars and battles they were constantly fighting in the natural realm, is what we Christian believers are to be doing in the spirit realm. That went over big. Everybody's real excited. Amen. He says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. Ephesians 6:12. So, you know, another place he says, weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. So we see that we're wrestling, according to Ephesians 6:12, we're in a war, according to 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. And according to Ephesians 6:17, he says, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil. And so we're a close proximity, if I said the word right, we're wrestling, we're in a war, and we got somebody shooting flaming arrows at us. That must mean that we need to recognize where we're at, and we need to fight this fight. Like he says in 1 Timothy 6:12, he said to fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight. So all those wars and all those battles that Israel was fighting, that's what we need to be doing with our authority in the spirit realm. It's a spiritual warfare. A lot of times when believers pray for something, it doesn't happen right away, and all these emotions come over their heads saying, I just don't know, and they start to waver and wonder if it's going to come to pass, and before you know it, there's very little faith at all in it, and they're kind of half-heartedly fighting for it, you see, and Satan keeps them way down here. When in reality, like he said, this is a confidence. We should have confidence to know that when we ask, regardless of what we feel, that God's going to bring it to pass. That's a biblical way to get your prayer answered. In fact, let me see if I still have it on here. We'll see if I can read this to you. This is out of Finney Stake wrote an anointed reference Bible, and this is a quotation from that Bible. I put it as my background on my phone. He said, do not lose heart, do not give in to doubt. If you're taking notes, this would be a good thing to write down. Do not give in to doubt, fear, unbelief, discouragement, or use excuses for unbelief when prayer is not answered immediately. He says, rebuke and resist all opposition to the answer and all suggestions of a failure. Rebuke and resist all opposition to the answer and all suggestions of a failure. I'm going to say that again. Rebuke and resist all opposition to the answer and all suggestions of a failure. And then he says it is a divine blood-bought right to get an answer, so do not lose heart. So our job, you know, I can tell you this from experience. I hope you're paying attention here, because you're talking to someone who prays a lot of prayers and gets a lot of prayers answered. You see? And I can tell you this, that a lot of times when I pray, if I were to go by what my emotions are telling me, and by what I feel, even just 10 minutes after I prayed, if it's a big thing, that it's a hopeless situation, it's never going to happen. You see, but what I do, regardless of how I feel, it doesn't matter if I feel like there's no way it's ever going to happen. I just sit there and say, I keep on confessing. I thank you that I have this. 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 So I thank you that it's done. And I'll say it about, typically I do it in fours, maybe 4 or 8 or 12 or 16 times in a row I'll say it. And a couple hours later I'll say it another 4 or 8 or 16 times or whatever. I say it repetitiously. Now, Jesus said not to use vain repetitions. He said, your Father knows that you need before you ask Him. If there's a vain repetition, there must be a true repetition. When He talked about vain repetitions, He's talking about the heathens who would chant. The witchcrafts, they all do their chantings and stuff like that. And the reason we repeat it over and over and over is not for God's benefit. He heard you the first time you prayed. The reason we repeat it over and over is for our benefit, so we can stay in an attitude of faith. Why? I can tell you why. Because if you're only putting, maybe 100 times in your thoughts and the devil's putting 200 times in your thoughts, it's not going to happen. You're going to believe the devil instead of believe God. You see, that's why when you're healing and your circumstances are very strong and your feelings and your whether it's an emotional healing or it's a physical healing and the feelings are so overwhelming and you're possibly in pain and it just seems like there's no way this is going to work. And you're confessing, you're saying, I'm healed. And your body's screaming at you. Your sensory organs, your nerves are screaming at you that you are sick. You're not going to make it. Go down to Walgreens and get yourself some Benadryl and whatever else it is that coughs here. You better go get it because it's over with. There's no way you're going to believe God for this. That's what your emotions are screaming at you. And a lot of believers say, Father, I thank you that I'm healed. And that's all they say. And they honestly believe that they're going to have the faith to receive that. It's not going to happen. What you need to do at that time, especially if you have the symptoms of a heart attack and something serious, some kind of serious business, is you need to walk around with your hands up for the next 2-3 hours and say, Father, I thank you that you heard me, that I'm healed. And I'm not joking. It sometimes takes that long, sometimes longer. What I like to quote, if I don't feel well, if symptoms try to attack me from the devil, then I quote Romans 8:2. I say, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I'm not going to take it. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I'm not taking this, devil. Not going to take it. Jesus paid the price. The blood of Jesus paid the price. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I am not going to take this. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to work. So get out of my body. I'm not going to put up with it. The law of the spirit of life. And I keep on doing it over and over, aggressively using my authority like Pastor Phineas Dake said here, and I consistently say it over and over and over until I feel a quickening in my body. Then I'll get out, I'll go online, and I'll get Kenneth Hagin has healing scriptures on there. It's called God's Medicine on YouTube. God's Medicine. I will listen to God's, there's other healing stuff out there. I don't listen to it because they got some New Age music in the background that's not anointed. I ain't going to put that in my spirit. I'm careful what I put in my spirit. And I'll listen to his, by the time I listen to about 10 minutes, I don't even get through the whole hour and 20 minutes or whatever it is. 10 minutes of that and I already feel the quickening of God in my body. Because you're hearing, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen? Romans 10:17. So if you'll hear it, and you'll not let the devil have a stronger word over your shoulder telling you it's not going to work, then it's going to have to come to pass. Because God's word, he said, will not return void. It will accomplish that which I please and propose and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. He said, I shall decree a thing and it shall come to pass. Amen. So if God says it's going to come to pass, Luke 1:37 says that no word of God has ever failed. That's what one translation says. It says, nothing is impossible with God. No word of God has ever failed. God's word is a seed, And it's not a dead seed, it's a live seed. He called it the living and enduring Word of God. He said, you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed. Imperishable seed through the living and enduring Word of God. That means nothing can kill that seed. You can take it with a sledgehammer trying to burn it. God's Word is imperishable. Amen? So when that seed is sown in the field of your heart, it has to produce what He said it will produce. It will come to pass. But we have to aggressively, by force, take hold aggressively of the promises of God, or it's not going to work in our lives. And I'm telling you, if you'll just take my advice, you know, I can remember my pastor used to teach this stuff, and I would sit there after having about 50, 60 prayers that were not getting answered, and I'd sit there and go, I'd analyze this. I'd say, he's telling me, the devil's telling me it's not going to work. And he's telling me that if I just keep saying that it is done, that it's going to come to pass. But my emotions are telling me that I need to keep asking God. I'm just going to keep asking him because I feel like that's the right thing to do. That's what I said. I'm going to keep asking God for it. And the pastor's saying, you don't do that. He says, you ask one time, then you call it done. Now that's scriptural. Romans 4:17 says, God is a God that calls those things that be not as though they were. And then he says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. And so became the father of many nations. Now what did he believe? He believed God's word. And he tells you that. He says, against all hope, that means it was a hopeless situation. It was absolutely 100% impossible. Not going to happen. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. And so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, God's word. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. He said, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. She's 90. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. In other words, he was strengthened in his faith as he gave glory to God. He went around worshiping God and said, I thank you that I am Abraham, which means the father of many nations. I thank you that you've called me Abraham. I am the father of many nations. Devil's over his shoulder going, you're 100 years old, buddy. Not going to happen. Sarah's 90. When Sarah was 25 years old, she couldn't have kids. And now you're trying to... You really honestly believe at 90 years old a barren woman's going to have children, don't you? You're the most foolish man on the earth. Look at you walking around. Where's your faithful God now? It's been over a year and nothing has happened. He told you this? I think that you heard wrong. That's the devil. It says he did not waver. He just kept thinking, I thank you, it's done. I thank you that I have it. I thank you that I've got a son, and my son's going to have sons, and his son's going to have sons, and it's going to be just like the stars in the heaven and the sea on the seashore. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what he did, and that's how faith works. You want to have answered prayer? The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is. That he is. That he is who? That he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, if there's any verse you need to memorize, it's that one, because faith is what pleases God. We must come to Him believing that He is, believing that He is who He says He is, not who your emotions say He is. Who He says He is, not who most people say He is. Who He says He is in His Word. His Word is our standard. Don't listen to what other people tell you unless you see it in the Word. The Word is our standard. You see, and if God says He's our healer, we know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. And in Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So if He went about doing good and healing all then, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then He still goes about doing good and healing all who have faith. Many times you say, but according to your faith, it will be done to you. He said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. It's because of your faith. Amen? Hallelujah. We're talking a little bit about faith and answer prayer. We need to hear that. We need a refresher. Hallelujah, Jesus. Roplikiama kisiki le tomber kisiki le tomber kisiki le kiamo tomba preki. Romlaki threma kisiti kilo tomber kacher kisiti kilo tomber kiedremaka. Romlaki threma kisiti kilo komba braka kisiti ki. Le kiamo tomba prakra kisiti kilo tomber kiedremaka kisiti kilo tomba prabakar kisi. Romlaki threma kisiti kilo tomba braki. Rom la kiedr ma kasiti ki lotombra kar kasiti ki lakombra kasiti ki lotombra kiyamaka. You're going to have to help me with this one, Lord. He said these words. He said to consider my word and consider carefully how you hear. Take my word seriously and do not give way to fear. Yield to my spirit, for my spirit will help and sustain you in trial. The things may not come to pass instantly, but if you stay in faith, they will come to pass after just a very little while. For it is your faith that pleases me, and your faith that brings me great glory. So continue to walk in me, and do not start to worry. For I am the Lord your God, who answers all prayers for those who incline their ear and believe my word. They stand at it in faith, and they only stand in what they hear, says the Lord. Ropraka siki ne kondo maka siti kirkia maka. Romla ki siti kilotoma parabaka siti kilotoma parabaka siti baka. Romla parabaka, he said to take what I say very seriously. And then, Robaka siti kilakomba baka siti kilikia mosotomopla marakia. Romla ki dramaka siti kilotoma parabaka. Now he's telling what it means. He said, and take my word very seriously. For those who take my word very seriously recognize the high esteem of my word, for I have magnified my word above my own name. Yes, those who honor my word and respect my word meditate my word day and night. For if my word is first place in their life, if my word is first place in their life, they will meditate my word day and night. They will treat it as if it is as pure gold, as silver refined in the fire. For my word is pure and holy, and my word does not change, says the Lord. My word will bring it to pass, but you must know my word to have faith to see to it that it comes to pass, says the Lord. For I've given my word to all humanity. My word stands before you. The information is available to you. What will you do with it, says the Lord? Will you take my word seriously? Will you honor and respect my word? Or will you neglect my word and wonder why your prayers are not being answered? That's... He didn't say wonder, he said wander. If we don't take his word seriously enough to stand on it, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to wander and waver in our faith. We're going to wander from 1 minute saying, I thank you that it's done, to the next minute saying, I don't know what we're going to do. You see? So we need to take his word seriously. And the way if we do take it seriously, it's not enough to hear it in church. If you can read, and most people in this generation can read, I can understand some people can't read. But if you can't read, you could listen to it. It's available. Readily available on the internet, on CD. You can probably buy it on tape. I mean, there's all sorts of ways to get it. But Christians as a whole are lazy. They're lazy. Absolutely lazy. They don't want it bad enough. Amen? The reason, I'm not trying to offend anybody here, but if this is you, this is you. The reason your boss is the boss is because he wanted it more than you do. Amen? Now, you may be just getting started out. You can take that. You can get that position. I'm not trying to tell you to steal it from him, but you can get a position like he has, is what I'm trying to say. People that complain that they don't have enough money don't want it bad enough. They'll say they want it. They don't want it. Because if they do want it, then why didn't they do what the guy that's got half the IQ that they do, did, and go to school and get an education so that they can get the position. I can tell you why. It's because they're lazy. They don't want it bad enough. If you want it bad enough, nothing will be able to stop you. Amen? If you want something bad enough, you will get it. Amen? You're going to get it. It's the same thing with faith. If we want something bad enough, we're going to do what it takes to get all of our prayers answered. And let me tell you something. When you get all your prayers answered, you are going to walk around with victory in everything that comes up against you. Victory. Absolute victory all the time. Constant victory. Trials come up against you, you will be victorious every single time because you've made a choice that no matter what happens, I am always going to stand on the Word of God. Amen? And the way we stand on the Word of God is by meditating His Word day and night. I encourage everyone to read a minimum of 10 chapters a day. Now, I read a whole lot more than that. I probably, you know, I do rewinding and stuff like that because God interrupts me and starts telling me all this stuff about His Word. I would say I read a minimum of 20 to 25 chapters a day, even on Sundays, you see? And that's not counting all the confessions that I make of His Word. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God shall supply all Michelle and I and James's and facing churches my flocks and needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I confess all sorts of things over you, God's Word. I confess about protection. The one who's born of God keeps Michelle and I and James safe, and the evil one cannot harm us. With long life, God will satisfy Michelle and I and James and show us His salvation. Father, I thank You the Lord will deliver Michelle and I and James from the evil one. I thank You, Lord, You're faithful. You'll deliver us like You said in You. I confess these things over and over all day long. And then I go back into tongues, and then I pick up my guitar and worship, or I lift up my hands, or I plant my face in the chair and drop to my knees and worship. You say, well, Pastor Dan, you got all day to do that. I'd do the same thing if I had a full-time secular job. I just wouldn't have as much time to do it. I'd do it while I was working. You mean you're going to do that prayer while you're working? Sure, I worked in business and I prayed all day long. Nobody knew it. Why? Because I can pray in tongues quietly under my breath. I can go every time I go into the bathroom, I can say a bunch of confessions in there. Before you know it, you spend 5, 6, 7 hours a day in prayer, even though you're working a full-time job. And I did that for years at work. And that was in business. And when I was a machinist, when I worked as a machinist and ran a machine for 8 hours a day, I prayed in tongues the whole 8 hours. Minimum. That's not counting the prayer at home or the prayer before I went to work or the prayer at lunch. Amen. Pastor Dan, you're a machine. No, I just want it bad enough. I want it. You see? I got nothing. There's nothing else to live for. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life. He's the life to live. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'll give you some examples. I recommend that every believer, if you're a disciple of Jesus, He said if you're a disciple, that means you're a disciplined follower, to read and listen to a minimum of 10 chapters of the Bible every single day, every day without fail. Every day. It's not enough. Any less than that, I personally would say it's just, I don't see how it could possibly be enough to stay in faith for all the things you're asking God to do. I don't see how. Especially in this generation where everybody's negative. Amen. I just don't see how. Now, I also recommend that every believer pray in tongues. A minimum, absolute minimum of 1 hour a day. Minimum. Praying in tongues. Now, if you're, I would say to start out with 15 minutes and work your way up from there till you get an hour. And once you get into an hour and you keep on pressing, this is not going to be easy at first. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy to read the 10 chapters. Your flesh is going to fight you. The devil's going to try to distract you. Shut the phone off. If you write anything down from what you heard today, shut off the phone and lock the door. Amen? Go into your room and close the door. Turn off the radio in your car, wherever you are, and just start to pray. You see? Start to pray in tongues. You know? Well, what if somebody sees me praying in my car? Don't worry about it. I got people just up the street from me, young teenagers, they walk up the sidewalk dancing. You see, we had the young man in here the other day. He's dancing right here in front of me. Some kind of demonic influence dancing right here in front of me doing all this. I thought, what is that? Just got a check in my spirit. It was demonic. People are demon-possessed walking up and down the sidewalk and nobody cares. So who cares if they see you praying in tongues? Amen. Don't worry about it. Tint your windows if you're that concerned about it. Amen? Put earphones in your ear, and then they'll think you're talking to somebody on the phone. You know, people got the Bluetooth in their phones now, and they drive around, and they're talking into the air. So you don't got to worry about it. We should pray in tongues. Amen? He said, but you, beloved, build up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, Michelle, if you got a concordance, if you can open it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and to hand your phone over here. So he says that he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. How be it in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Mysteries. Now, it's not a mystery to God. You're not, hey, God, I'm going to speak this mystery that you don't know. No, he knew it long before you spoke it. It's not a mystery to him. It's a mystery to you. But when you speak in tongues, that's mysteries that are going up to God in a form of a prayer. And that prayer, just like any other type of prayer, just like the prayer of faith, just like a prayer of intercession, that prayer is meant to be answered. So when you pray those supernatural utterances up before the throne of God, it's going to come back. And what it mainly comes back down in the form of is revelation knowledge. That's revealed knowledge. That's something you didn't know before. Now you're going to know it. Amen? Revealed knowledge. And that revealed knowledge is going to be regarding the Word of God, first and foremost. Why is that so important? Because he says in the Word that my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. You see? And the reason a lot of Christians flounder around, they can't stay in an attitude of faith, the reason that they do that is because they don't have revelation knowledge. They have head knowledge, intellectual knowledge concerning the Word. That's not going to get you anywhere. We need revelation knowledge. That's when God's Word becomes more real to you than anything you see, hear, or feel. Amen? That's when God's Word starts to become alive and real and vigorous and full of life in you. That no matter what happens, you just cannot stop standing on the Word. You see? And that's when I've got revelation knowledge. It's almost as in the spirit realm to the devil. He just thinks you're too dumb to give up. You just won't give up. He can't give up because you just, there's something in you. I just know the spirit of man is a part of man that knows. That's what it is. You know, you think in your head, but your spirit knows. You just get a knowing when something is right. You get a knowing when something is wrong. You know that it's going to come to pass. You just, your candle's been illuminated, and now it's like a blazing fire inside of you, and it's illuminated the Word, and His Word is so quickened and so alive to you that you know that it's going to come to pass. You see, that's how you start getting the prayer of faith answered. So really, in order to get the prayer of faith answered properly every single time, first of all, you need to pray before you pray. What does that mean? Well, you pray in tongues and build yourself up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost, Jude verse 17. And by praying in the Holy Ghost, your faith is going to become strong and vigorous and full of life. You're going to excel in faith. You're going to grow in faith. Your faith is going to get built up so your spiritual muscles are strong. So when it comes time to move that mountain and say, be thou removed, it's going to come to pass. And when it doesn't happen instantly, you're going to be still standing there knowing that your God is faithful, knowing that your God's Word is true and you can trust Him. And when you said it, He heard you the first time and it will come to pass. Just a matter of time. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, and a lot of times what people tend to do is if God gave you a rhema word by His Spirit, everyone say a rhema word. I know plenty of people who've gotten rhema words by the Spirit of God. God said something to them and spoke something to them. And they started to waver because they didn't see how it was possible and the circumstances were negative. Perhaps they gave them visions. Or God gave you a vision, or God just blatantly spoke to your spirit and said, this is what I want for your life, this is what's going to come to pass for you, or however He said it. And at first you were excited about it, but then the circumstances back and forth, it just seemed like it's never going to happen. And what they do is they try to replace what God said in the spiritual with something in the natural. Can you give me an example? Sarah. You see? God said that Sarah was going to have a child, and Sarah didn't believe God. She laughed and said, ha, should I have a child now in my old age? And what she did is instead of believing God's rhema word that He spoke to Abraham and revealed to her, instead of believing that, He tried to replace it with the child in the natural. He said, here, Abraham, I'm too old for this. Go on and have relations with Hagar. And then this is how, this must be what God meant. Must be what God meant. Because they wanted to have children, you see. And God had provided a way for it to all come to pass supernaturally. But she tried to do something in the natural. And the, you know, the end result is they had Ishmael, but God says, it's not it. That's not it. We're not going to do it this way. It's got to be an impossible situation. I wouldn't say impossible. You see, it has to be an impossible situation, otherwise you don't need God. If it can be done in the natural, if it's easy, typically, there's very little that God needs to do for you. You can just handle it on your own. But that's not how God likes to do things. Well, you know, a lot of times when it comes to the call of God, people like to gravitate towards something that they're comfortable with. I wouldn't say comfortable. But God, I can guarantee you, if it's comfortable for too long, it's typically not God. He likes to move us in a direction where things get very uncomfortable. Let me tell you something. As a pastor, God keeps me in a very uncomfortable zone every single day. There are things that God asks me to do that rack me so bad that I say, God, how in the world can anybody handle this? He says, my grace is sufficient. Just keep pressing in, I'll bring it to pass. I say, okay. And then he asks me to do another thing that's impossible. You see, he does it all the time. I'll say, you got 37 things for me to do and I got an hour to do them. How am I going to do it? He says, make it happen. That's what God tells me. How am I going to make it happen? You figure it out. Make it happen. That's how God deals with me. I don't know how he deals with you, but I'm telling you that that has stretched me out of a comfort zone into a walking in a place where it's not always comfortable and forced me into a position to grow. Amen? And the end result is my faith is vigorous and strong. I get all my prayers answered. I keep telling you that I get them all answered. Anything that happens, Michelle and I look at each other, if it's over our head, I say, it's just another opportunity to make God's word work. I say, God did this, God did that. He did this other thing. He gave us this money that time. He provided this. I mean, he gave us that, and he did this other thing. I mean, what in the world? Would it be foolish to not believe he's not going to do it again? And by the time we list the 400 things or whatever God's done in that 400, list about a dozen of them in a row, you're all pumped up and say, God's going to do it again. I don't know how he's going to make this one happen, but I'm looking forward to see the testimony that's going to come from this. Amen. How do you do that, Pastor Dan? I built myself up on my most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. And as a result of asked God to do things and watched him do it, and when he does it over and over and over and over and over and over and over without fail, and it comes to pass just like he showed you, then your faith just gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Amen? You see, I started to believe in God for a few souls. God said, I want you to believe for the souls of Milwaukee County. So I said, oh, thank you, God, that West Dallas is saved. I thank you, God, that West Dallas is saved. He said, I said, Milwaukee County. I said, I thank you, God, that West Dallas is saved. I can remember driving down the road somewhere past New Berlin. And he said to strengthen your stakes. He said, stretch your tent curtains wide. He brought the scripture to me. He said, I said, Milwaukee County. I said, God, I'm afraid. You see, I had the principality of, I think it was West Dallas. It showed up in my bedroom and scared me so bad I didn't know what to do. David Young Icho had something similar happen to him. Big devil jumped in his room. Big black cloaked devil said, commanded him to stop. You stop right now. He said, okay. He went and talked to Lester Summerall's. And he said, I don't know what to do. He said, next time it happens, send him to my room. That's what Lester said. He said, I'll take care of him. So the big devil jumped on my bed. I seen him. I felt the room got about, I never felt it so cold. It felt about 30 below. And the cold and it felt death. The whole room was full of death. And he stood over my bed and he said, stop saying it, he said to me. I said, okay. I'm going to stop saying whatever. Just get out of here, in Jesus' name. You see, why did he say that? And then I realized after it happened, God rebuked me. He said, don't you back down for that thing. I've given you power and authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means harm you. I said, you see that thing? He said, I don't care. He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I told you to take Milwaukee County, and you're going to take Milwaukee County. I said, I'm going to believe for Milwaukee County. And after about 6 months of God having to fight me for it, I started believing for Milwaukee County. But he also gave me wisdom to start believing him every day, multiple times, for protection. And all the manifestations that would take place in our house, all the devils that were manifesting, stopped. As not completely, but as enough to the point where I don't have to live in fear of being killed overnight. Amen. Amen? You need to believe God for protection. He promises you in his word. So, we'll just use the testimony against him. He can't hurt or harm us. And we're not going to stop believing for souls. Amen. We're going to keep on doing what he's asked us to do. Why? Because we built ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, he says that he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Edifies. Edifies. That's 1 Corinthians 4:4. Edifies himself. Now, I'm going to show you what this word in the Greek means, edify. Iaktomio. And it means this, to build a house, to erect a building, to build up from the foundation, to restore by building, to rebuild, repair, to found or establish, to promote. This is what I want you to get. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. It says to promote growth in Christian wisdom, affection. That's the love of God, grace, virtue, that's your character, holiness, blessedness. Does anybody want to be more blessed?
Amen.
You can pray the prayer of faith, and that prayer does not have to be answered unless you stay in faith. But you cannot, it is impossible to pray in tongues even for 3 seconds without that prayer being answered. Why? Because the only faith that you need for that prayer is the faith to do it.
Amen.
That's it. It's God's words that he speaks and God brings it to pass. There is an ironclad guarantee that if you will speak in tongues, that prayer will come to pass and you will be what? You will grow in Christian wisdom, affection, the love of God, grace, virtue, that's your character, holiness, and blessedness. You know that word blessedness also translates happiness. Does anybody want to be more happy? If you want to be more happy, pray in tongues. Does anybody want to be more blessed? If you want to be more blessed, pray in tongues. Anybody want to have an easier time walking in the love of God? Then pray in tongues because you're building yourself up in these virtues. Does anybody want to walk and live a more holy life, since without holiness no one will see the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Then pray in tongues because it's building you up in holiness. Does anybody want to be more wise, since he says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? He says that my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And we want all the wisdom and knowledge we can get. Does anybody want more wisdom and knowledge? It's all found in praying in tongues. If there's any cure-all for all of your problems, it's all found by that intimacy that you have with God when you fellowship with him in the Spirit. It's all in there. It'll keep you from backsliding. If you're backslidden, it'll bring you back to where God wants you to do if you'll keep doing it. It'll take you where God wants you to be and plant you where God wants you to stay. It'll get you rooted and grounded in the right church. It will build you up so you're so strong that no matter what circumstances come up against you, you will begin to stand on God's word. But here's the kicker. Most people give up because it's not going to happen after a week. But if you will give yourself to prayer and pray a few hours in tongues for 6 months to a year, then you will start to see the difference. That's typically, from what I know and other people's experience, it takes about that long. Unless you're Michelle. It happens overnight with her. You see, she got baptized in the Holy Spirit and now she teaches things. I heard her saying things on the phone. I said, can you tell me what you're talking about over there? I never heard anything like that before. Why? Because she's got the gift of the teacher. It's coming from God's throne. She's extracting things from God's throne. Why? Because she spends time praying in tongues. And equally or more importantly, she's spent thousands of hours meditating God's word. Thousands of hours. She used to go through the Bible over and over and over and over and over. She knows the word. Amen. So that's built her up to be strong. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we want to spend a lot of time praying in tongues. It's our lifeline to God. I believe it personally to be the anchor that's not only kept me from backsliding or drawn me back when I try to waver away from God, it always draws me back. If any time I try to get even a little bit off, even if it's just one little degree, it pulls me back right away. Why? Because I keep doing it. I'm praying the perfect plan of God over my life. He says in Romans 8, 26 and 27, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth, that takes hold together against with, that sun anti lambano mahi in the Greek. He takes hold together against us with, against what? Against our weaknesses imposed on us because of the limitations of this flesh body that wants to doubt, wants to sin, wants to do all sorts of naughty things. So he grabs a hold with us through praying in tongues. And he says this, he helps us with those weaknesses, those inability to produce results because of the limitations imposed on us by this flesh. What kind of results? Righteous acts, holy living, purity, faith, answered prayer. Those are all the results that God wants from us. You see? He says, for we don't know what to pray for as we ought. Isn't that a fact? He said, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches our hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit makes intercession for the saints in accordance with the will of God. Amen. The Spirit knows the mind of God. That mind breaks down to be the plan of God for your individual life. And then he says, we know in all things God works together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. A lot of people like to quote that, but what he's actually saying is those who surrender their lives to the ministry of prayer through the Holy Spirit, God's going to work the plan of God and work it all out for your good, and everything's going to be great at the end of your life. Why? Because you keep working that plan, you keep planting the seeds, he's laying the foundation beneath you to walk on. Even though all these problems are coming at you, you're just walking through brick walls. Amen? Nothing can stop you. Unstoppable. Why? Because you built yourself up. You've built that superstructure within your spirit to house the faith and the anointing of God. Amen? Let's spend more time praying in tongues. I recommend a minimum of an hour a day. I don't think that's enough. I personally would tell you a minimum of 6 hours a day. And I know people who are not called to ministry, who work secular jobs, who pray more than 6 hours a day. So to me, I did that when I worked in a lumber yard. I probably prayed 4 hours a day. That's hard physical labor. Hard physical labor. Very hard. So if I can do that, you can do it. I didn't even graduate eighth grade math. I dropped out of high school. Sophomore year. I was a dropout and a druggie. Hanging out with them and drank and ran around trying to kill myself and everything else and running around. And if God can turn me around through praying in tongues, then imagine what he can do with you who didn't do all that mess. You'd be better off than me, maybe. No. Hallelujah. You just start reading the word and praying in tongues. I mean, you take not just Milwaukee County, maybe you'll take the whole United States. Who knows what you could do? Hallelujah. You can do it. Hallelujah. So let's spend a lot of time praying in tongues and let's believe that God's going to bring it to pass. We can trust God that when we prayed it, he heard us. And he will bring it to pass. Amen.